Displacement United States History Podcast. This episode's topic is Life in the United States, the Beginning of the 20th Century. The increase in the proportion of Eastern and Southern European immigrants coming to the U.S. beginning in the 1880s increased nativist sentiments. Local communities throughout the country redoubled their efforts at patriotism. They passed laws making English the only language of instruction in the schools. Such laws also prohibited some of the immoral practices associated with immigrants, especially in matters such as gambling and liquor sales. In 1882, Congress excluded convicts, idiots, and persons likely to become public charges from immigrating into the U.S. It also imposed a head tax of 50 cents for each immigrant admitted. Between 1854 and 1883, several hundred thousand Chinese came to the U.S. Many took jobs building railroads in the West. With the decline in railroad construction in 1882, Congress barred further immigration of Chinese. The Chinese Exclusion Act and other acts of Congress also denied American citizenship to Orientals. By 1905, about 100,000 Japanese had immigrated to the U.S., the great majority of them settling in California. Native Americans tended to view the Japanese as not being able to assimilate into American culture. Anti-Oriental prejudices directed earlier at the Chinese now focused on the Japanese. In 1906, the San Francisco School Board issued an order segregating Japanese children because they were allegedly over the accepted school age and they were overcrowding the public schools. Actually, the order involved only 93 Japanese pupils, of whom 25 had been born American citizens and the oldest two were only aged 20. Such blatant racism greatly disturbed the Japanese. Incorrectly assuming at first the president could easily control the Californians, the Japanese government lodged a strong diplomatic protest and requested the revocation of the school segregation order. President Roosevelt was aware of Japan's great power. Japan had just defeated Russia in a war, and Roosevelt had won the Nobel Peace Prize for his role in negotiating the peace. And he was furious at those, quote, infernal fools, unquote, in San Francisco for recklessly insulting the Japanese and risking a needless war. After several goodwill gestures to assuage Japan, Roosevelt summoned the San Francisco mayor and school board to the White House in early 1907. Roosevelt promised to stop the Japanese influx, and they agreed to rescind the segregation order. The so-called Gentlemen's Agreement of 1907 resulted. The U.S. agreed not to bar Japanese immigration by law in exchange for Japan's promise not to allow its people to immigrate to the U.S. mainland. This agreement assuaged Japan's national honor and pride, but the entire affair left an unpleasant aftertaste. In 1917, Congress, over President Wilson's veto, passed a bill that required a literacy test for admission into the U.S. Immigrants over the age of 16 had to read not less than 30 nor more than 80 words in ordinary use in English or some other language. In 1921, Congress limited annual immigration to 350,802 and set a quota for each nation. The quota was arrived at by taking 3% of the total number of persons from that nationality residing in the U.S. in 1910. The quota favored Northern and Western Europe. In 1924, the law was toughened. It provided that after 1927, total immigration in any one year would be limited to 150,000. A quota was allocated to each country according to the proportion of its natives in the population of the U.S. in 1920. The quota allocated to each group had no relationship to the number of people who actually wanted to come to the U.S. This law also forbade the immigration of Asians, thus terminating the Gentlemen's Agreement and insulting the race-sensitive Japanese. Prejudices against the new immigrants and blacks led to the founding of the modern Ku Klux Klan at Stone Mountain, Georgia, in 1915. Only, quote, native-born white Gentile Americans, unquote, could be members. By 1925, membership in the Klan approached 5 million. The governor and a U.S. senator from Colorado were members of the Klan, and it was an important political power in many states. The Klan used floggings, kidnappings, cross-burnings, arson, even murder to terrorize whole communities. The Klan began to fold with the restriction of immigration and the total segregation of blacks. In addition, scandals rocked the Klan, and many people turned away from an organization that pretended to guard civic purity but was now exposed as corrupt. Prohibition was another attack upon the new immigrants and the city. While fundamental Protestants considered liquor an instrument of the devil, to the new immigrants it was part of their everyday life. In Europe, social life revolved around the pub, bistro, Gasthause, and café. In addition, the Catholic Church used wine in celebrating the Eucharist. Prohibition was an attempt to control the values of the new immigrant and to ensure that they would show up to work on Monday, sober and ready to go. 26 states had already adopted prohibition laws by 1917. During World War I, Congress first prohibited the manufacture or sale of intoxicating liquors. The 18th Amendment, ratified in 1919, placed this prohibition in the Constitution. The Volstead Act, which enforced the amendment, defined alcoholic beverages as anything with 0.5% of alcohol by volume. The government had to depend on a small force of agents to enforce the law. Since millions of people continued to drink, the traffic in illegal liquor helped organized crime tremendously. The 21st Amendment, ratified in 1933, ended prohibition. The rapid change that was taking place during the last years of the 19th and the first years of the 20th century caused an upsurge in the power of fundamental Protestantism. Several southern states passed laws forbidding the teaching of evolution in the schools. In 1925, Tennessee passed such a law. John Scopes, a Dayton High School biology teacher, taught evolution and was brought to trial. Scopes was defended by the American Civil Liberties Union lawyer Clarence Darrow, the most famous lawyer of the time and an acknowledged agnostic. William Jennings Bryan led the prosecution. The all-star cast of the Dayton Monkey Trial engaged the interest of the press and therefore the nation. Scopes was convicted for violating the law, but the state Supreme Court reversed the decision on a technicality and the constitutionality of the statute could not be tested. Bryan had testified on the stand as an expert on the Bible and was generally humiliated. He died a few days after the trial. Although the Tennessee law was finally repealed in 1967, the conflict over evolution still exists to this day. Generally speaking, the first two decades of the 20th century were marked by full employment and a rising standard of living for all classes. Adjusted to the cost of living, the total national income increased from $480 per capita in 1900 to $567 per capita in 1920. Yet the benefits of prosperity were not evenly distributed. Census figures reveal that the top 5% of the population in income received 30% of the nation's family personal income in 1929, and the bottom 40% of the nation's families only received 12.5%. During the 1920s, most urban dwellings had electricity. Industry, using, quote, scientific management and the assembly line, greatly increased production and reduced prices on products. Many new products came onto the market. By 1930, there was one car for every five Americans. Technology and urbanization gave many Americans something they had never had before, discretionary income and leisure time. The automobile, movies, radio, and mass marketing techniques changed American culture. Values were no longer determined by the local community. It was Hollywood's and Madison Avenue's influence that mattered to many people. Many young people embraced the new culture. Young women, known as flappers, bobbed their hair, wore short skirts, and threw away their corsets. This attitude, of course, shocked many of their parents. Jazz made its appearance on a nationwide scale in the 1920s. With its roots in the African-American community, most whites had never heard of jazz or the blues prior to the 1920s. The movement to the north of many blacks during World War I and the development of the phonograph and the radio made jazz mainstream music, and dances like the Charleston, first seen in a black movie, swept the nation. Because of housing segregation, blacks were confined to specific neighborhoods. Harlem, New York City, was the black cultural center. The outpouring of music, art, and literature that came out of Harlem during the 1920s is known as the Harlem Renaissance. Please join us for our next episode, which will focus on the Red Scare of 1919 and 1920. Thanks for listening.